Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas. All persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of Texas, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the state of Texas and this honorable court.
Thank you. Please be seated. Good morning. The court has three matters on its oral submission docket this morning. We're a little light today because two of our judges are not sitting in the first case, and we are awaiting the governor's appointment on Justice Scott Brister's seat. In the order of their appearance, the cases are 080172, Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts versus Attorney General of Texas, and the Dallas Morning News from Travis County and the Third Court of Appeals District. As I mentioned, Justice Heck and Justice Willett are not sitting in that case. 080215, University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center at Dallas versus the estate of Irene Esther Arancibia, by its beneficiary Victor Hugo Vasquez Arancibia and others, from Dallas County and the Fifth Court of Appeals District. And docket number 080244, Basic Capital Management and Others versus Dynex Commercial Inc. and Dynex Capital Inc. from Dallas County and the Fifth Court of Appeals District. The court has allotted 20 minutes per side in each argument, and we will take a brief recess between the arguments. These proceedings are being recorded, and a link to the arguments should be posted on the court's website by the end of the day today. The court is now ready to hear argument in 080172, Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts versus Attorney General of Texas and the Dallas Morning News.
May it please the court, Mr. Hohengarten will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner is reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, this court should hold that common law privacy interests extend to date of birth information under the tests in Billings v. Atkinson and Valenzuela v. Aquino.
Mr. Hohengarten, does this court have jurisdiction to even hear this matter?
Absolutely, Your Honor, there is jurisdiction. In this case, this raises a very important question for the jurisprudence of the state. Under the Public Information Act, the question is whether or not date of birth information for at least 145,000 public employees will be publicized in public information for anyone who wishes to obtain that information. So we submit it very much is a matter of jurisprudential importance and involves the construction of a statute in the PIA.
Is the question really so narrow, though? It's not so much birth date information as it is the whole packet of information that includes birth dates that would allow identity theft. It wouldn't be birth dates per se that would be protected under a privacy interest, but the combination with the other information that allows identity theft.
That's correct, Justice O'Neill. What we are submitting is the date of birth information in conjunction with other information that is already available to a requester does trigger this privacy interest for three primary reasons. A reasonable person would be highly offended by the publication, the publicizing of this information, because of the additional risk of identity theft. That's number one. Because this information can allow persons to obtain other sensitive information, as the Arizona Supreme Court noted in the Scottsdale School District case, that is Social Security number, investment and insurance portfolios, perhaps even medical history. And the third reason is that under the PIA, we have a situation that is akin to publicizing this information. This case is not just about the news having this information. This case is about whether or not dates of birth will be available to any requester under the PIA, no matter how suspicious that requester's activities. As this court knows, the government body is not entitled to ask the requester, no matter how legitimate the suspicions, for what purpose that requester is using that information. And the link between dates of birth in connection with other information that a requester would have about a given individual, The link between that and the additional risk of identity theft has been clearly drawn by the court, the New York Court of Appeals, in the Daly versus Metropolitan Life case. The implication is also clear there in the case I mentioned a moment ago, the Scottsdale Independent School District case versus KPNX Broadcasting Company. In that case, the court noted all the additional confidential information that could be obtained.
Were those courts interpreting the common law, or were they interpreting legislative enactments that protected that information?
In the case of Daly and in the case of KPNX, we are dealing with the Open Records Acts in other states.
And legislative exceptions.
And legislative exceptions. And as this court knows, in nearly all the cases that we've cited that discuss the need to protect date of birth information, the courts are employing a balancing test that does not exist, and we concede this, under the Texas PIA.
So, but I guess my point is, should we read some significance into the fact that the legislature weighed these policy interests and did not decide to create an exception? This is a uniquely legislative function as opposed to judicial.
I would respectfully disagree, Your Honor. The PIA expressly states that the judiciary can be a part of this process by identifying common law privacy interests. That point was made very clear by this very court in the Industrial Foundation of the South case, and it is not a requirement that the legislature specifically identify an exemption in the act. The only question for this court we would respectfully submit is, does the common law protect this information? If it doesn't, we lose. If it does, we should prevail.
And your burden in that question is particularly high, isn't it? Speaking of the legislative policy, the PIA says in its introductory paragraph that under the fundamental philosophy of the American constitutional form of representative government that adheres to the principle that government is the servant and not the master of the people, and now I'm paraphrasing, that each person is entitled to complete information about the affairs of government, a laudable goal. So you've got a particularly steep burden to satisfy to exempt public information from disclosure.
We do have a steep burden, Justice Wainwright, and in particular because this court would have to make new law. This court would have to recognize for the first time the common law privacy interests reach date of birth information in light of changes in technology and the increasing problem of identity theft in our society. So we acknowledge that we've got a tough row to hoe in this case, but we think the policy interests are so compelling and they fit so well under that test that this court has articulated in Valenzuela v. Aquino that the comptroller should in fact prevail in this case.
You do cite in your brief the analogous exemption 6 in the Freedom of Information Act, and you've just talked about there in your brief the cases of Oliva. You mentioned here the Scottsdale, the Arizona Supreme Court case, that have applied by analogy the exemption in the Freedom of Information Act to state Open Records Act exemptions. 552.102 in the Texas PIA has similar language to that exemption 6. And so you seem to be arguing in your brief about that balancing test under 552.102, at least that we should look to those opinions that I've mentioned for that balancing test to try to find an exemption for date of birth information. Is that a fair kind of summary of your position on the balancing test?
I would correct it this way, Justice Wainwright. I would say that we are going solely under 552.101, and the ability of this court to hold information is protected under confidential information that is held confidential by judicial decision. And so the issue is, does the Texas common law reach this information? We are not advocating a balancing test. Under that other statute, we don't believe a balancing test is applicable under this particular state regulatory system.
When I looked back at the summary judgments filed in the trial court, page 56 of the Dallas Morning News briefs references both 552.101 and .102. Your brief on pages 6 and 7
references the balancing test that would be applicable to 552.102, yet you're limiting your argument to 552.101?
Yes, we are. We had other arguments.
There's an argument that 552.102 is a stronger argument. You're not making that argument. I want to be clear about that.
We are not making that argument. We are going under 102.
Why
because
not?
We believe that our very strongest argument, respectfully we disagree with the justice on this point, is the common law under Valenzuela v. Aquino and the Billings v. Atkinson case. We believe that given technological changes in the society, a reasonable person would be highly offended by this disclosure under the common law. So we may have a disagreement with the justice on our strongest argument here, but we absolutely believe that that test that has been stated by the Supreme Court at least twice is our very strongest argument for protecting this information.
Under 552.101, the test that you're asserting there, I've not seen any case that you've been able to cite that has taken that same position.
There is no case in Texas.
However, under 552.102, there's two U.S. Supreme Court opinions regarding Exemption 6 of the Freedom of Information Act that reference date of birth and the privacy concerns there. The Arizona Supreme Court has taken that approach. The Kansas Supreme Court has, at least to some degree, taken the same approach. So there's some case law supporting the 102 argument. You don't think that's a very strong argument?
Well, our concern is that most of the other states in their Open Records Act, as well as FOIA, have a balancing test that is simply not found in the Texas PIA, and that is our concern. We have cited those cases from other jurisdictions as further support for our position that a reasonable person, this theoretical reasonable man or woman, would be highly offended by the disclosure of this information, and one of our arguments for the court to arrive at that policy is that there are legislative and judicial trends in all the other jurisdictions, be it by statute or by judicial decision, that have protected this information. And so our invoking those cases really go to whether a reasonable person would expect this information to be private. And we are not submitting to this court that those cases, Olivia, KPNX, the Daily v. Metropolitan case, that those are controlling cases in this case. Obviously, they're from other jurisdictions, and they don't control what this Texas court does. But perhaps more importantly, as I emphasized just a moment ago, most of those statutes in other states are different in that they carry forward FOIA's balancing test so that courts can look at the privacy interest and then weigh whether or not that privacy interest prevails over a legitimate public interest in having this information.
Have you come to the conclusion that the release of date of birth information would lead to identity theft?
We don't conclude that it would lead to identity theft, Justice Jefferson. What we are saying is that it would clearly increase the risk for any given individual, and we base our assertion on the connection that has been made by other judicial decisions, that is the connection between this information and identity theft. We base it on the Federal Trade Commission report that shows identity theft is rampant in this country, that billions of dollars are lost every year through identity theft, that persons typically spend dozens of hours trying to untangle the mess that is created when they are victims of identity theft. We've cited the bill analysis by the legislature when they enacted the dumpster diving legislation that protects persons from private businesses carelessly misusing.
Just on the sole position that this is not a legitimate public concern?
Unfortunately, we don't get to make that argument. We wish that we could make the argument that we get to ask this court to balance the privacy interest against legitimate public concern, but we just don't see that argument under the applicable case law, in part because, go ahead, Justice.
In the opinion below about the arguments that you made, legitimate public concern and the embarrassment of the public information that could be released.
That is absolutely correct. In the Court of Appeals below, we also argued that this information would constitute a publicizing of embarrassing facts. And in that privacy interest under the common law, there is a weighing of how embarrassing the information is as against a legitimate public need to know. We are no longer making that argument. We don't think it really fits, because no one is arguing that a date of birth is an embarrassing piece of information. So we think the stronger, at least for most people, but we think the stronger common law interest is clearly the intentional intrusion into the private affairs and concerns of another that would be highly offensive to a reasonable person. We think that's the strongest privacy interest under common law, given the facts in this case.
Under the Identity Theft Enforcement and Protection Act, there are two classes of information. There's personal information and sensitive personal information. And birth dates are not made sensitive personal information under the Act. Do you attribute any significance to that distinction in the legislation?
We do not attribute any significance to that distinction because, again and respectfully, we believe the sole question before this court is whether or not Texas common law would protect this information.
But if businesses aren't required to protect it, why should governments be required to protect it?
Well, in fact, under that Dumpster Diving Act, the businesses are required to shred or engage in erasure of personal identifiers, including date of birth information, and the Attorney General's office actually has enforcement powers that it can bring against businesses that mishandle information, personal identifiers, including date of birth information.
So, would a state employee have standing to intervene to prevent the information from being released?
In this case, I don't believe that a state employee could intervene because the information is held by the comptroller's office. It is part of the comptroller's payroll database. The comptroller is the one that possesses this information. Employees are required to disclose it.
When you disclose it and become a state employee, you give up your right to privacy in that regard?
Well, we're saying absolutely not. I mean, that's the concern. It's not only public employees, but persons trying to obtain occupational license, obtain other services from the government that may be required to disclose their date of birth to a government agency in return for employment or occupational licenses or benefits. And this court even noted in the Industrial Foundations of the South case that because that disclosure of information is often required to obtain the service or employment or the license, it really can't, as a practical matter, be deemed a consensual or free disclosure. Employees have to give it up if they want the job, but because that information is then in the comptroller's payroll database, I think the employees themselves would have a difficult time intervening in this particular lawsuit.
Are there any further questions?
Thank you,
Counselor. The court is ready to hear argument from the respondents and the cross-petitioner.
May it please the court, Mr. Wattler will present argument for cross-petitioner respondent, the Dallas Morning News, and Ms. Loudermilk will present argument for respondent, the Attorney General of Texas. Mr. Wattler will open with the first 13 minutes.
May it please the court, good morning. The Court of Appeals judgment in favor of the News and the Attorney General should be affirmed. The Court of Appeals was correct that in holding that dates of birth of state employees contained in the Comptroller's payroll database is not accepted from disclosure
would
under the Public Information Act.
Would your position be different if this were Social Security numbers?
It would be, because the Act specifically has an exception for Social Security numbers. The legislature several years ago chose to protect Social Security
numbers. But if the legislature did not have that exception, would your position be the same?
I think it would have to be determined under this common law analysis that we're engaged in here.
I agree.
Under the Industrial Foundation analysis.
And what would your common law interpretation be?
Well, I think that there is a very good chance that, unlike dates of birth, that it could be found to be intimate information that would be protected.
Why?
because it is a unique identifier that does have bring forward some of these concerns.
So if it could be proven that date of birth was a unique identifier under a theft, identity theft sort of protocol, then your argument would go away.
No, the question of whether it's a unique identifier alone is not the analysis. There are several parts to whether or not something is a actionable public disclosure of private facts. The first element is whether it's highly intimate or embarrassing.
Well, or intrusive.
Well, that's a separate branch. There's four branches of the invasion of privacy tort, three of which are recognized in Texas. Intrusion upon seclusion is a completely separate branch. And I think it's important, and one thing I'd like to talk about as time permits, is the difference between the intrusion upon seclusion theory, which is the sole theory the controversy is advancing
now. My point is, it seems to me that your same argument, if there were no exception for Social Security, and if date of birth were established to allow identity theft,
Yes. Then
I don't see the distinction between Social Security numbers and dates of birth under a common law analysis.
Well, the question would be, is the information highly intimate or embarrassing? I don't think Social Security number in and of itself would deem to be embarrassing. There might be some question on Social Security numbers of whether it's highly intimate. But even if it was, then you go to the next step of the analysis. Would the disclosure of it be reasonably offensive, offensive to a reasonable person, highly offensive to a reasonable person? And candidly, I think Social Security numbers, as opposed to dates of birth, may tend to be more in that category.
Why? That's what I don't understand.
Because of the fact that it is the means by which Social Security benefits are obtained and other things of that sort. The study that...
Because it could allow identity theft?
I think there is that possibility. The study that the comptroller relies on to a great extent, the FTC study that they point to, does talk about Social Security numbers being a problematic in the identity theft arena. There is no reference whatsoever to dates of birth.
So your point of contention then is whether dates of birth will allow identity theft.
Well, in this record, there is absolutely no evidence that the availability of dates of birth under the Texas Public Information Act or by any other means contributes to identity theft.
Yours is an evidentiary point, then.
In large part, it is. I mean, this record is totally absent. I think the great wisdom of the common law and the fact that this court, back in the Industrial Foundation case, incorporated the common law is it does have room to breathe and to expand and to address circumstances. But in this case, there's just no evidence.
So as an evidentiary matter, then, if there were proof that dates of birth along with the package of information that's requested would allow identity theft in the same manner as revealing a Social Security number would, your position would be different.
Well, no, because there would still be the need to establish all the elements of public disclosure or private fact. It's not just whether or not it somehow has a concern linked to identity theft. It's whether or not it's highly intimate or embarrassing information, whether the disclosure of it would be offensive, highly offensive to a reasonable person, and still whether there's a lack of public interest. Those are the three elements of the public disclosure tort.
You agree with the comptroller that if the Dallas Morning News is entitled to this information, the world is, right?
That is the law. That it's available to a media requester is equally available to any other requester.
And you have no concern or it doesn't deter you from argument if, in fact, there are miners of information out there, identity, you know, people who are using it for marketing purposes, but also to steal bank accounts and that sort of thing. You're not concerned that might have the effect if we
were
to affirm?
I think the better approach is to legislate against the evils that we're concerned about, and the legislature has done that. This former Business and Commerce Code, Section 35.48, it's now codified in Chapter 48, but that is an example of the legislature specifically trying to address the evil of identity theft.
But
and I think it's better to punish, the approach should be to punish the misuse of information rather than prohibiting any use of information that can have lots of social utility.
Let me see if I can understand the reasons for the request. The Dallas Morning News sought from all 145,000 employees of the state of Texas their full name,
correct,
job description, agency where they worked, race, sex, work address, date of initial employment, pay rate, salary, and date of birth.
That is correct.
Comptroller responded, we'll give you all of that except date of birth and we'll substitute age for date of birth. And the news said that's not good enough. We want date of birth
That's correct.
The reason, what's useful about that information with date of birth that is not useful about that information with only age provided?
I'd be glad to tell you. And this is something that's both in the record and I know was before the legislature the last couple of times, and I think it is significant that this whole issue has been before the legislature the last two sessions, and the legislature has chosen not to enact statutes that would specifically exempt
Surely
this
you're
information.
Not, you're not saying that we should take legislative intent from the failure to enact a statute.
No, but I think this is an area that is uniquely legislative, that we are deciding a case, or you are deciding a case, under the Texas Public Information Act, which is a creature of the legislature.
So what's the difference?
It's been well interpreted over many years, and there's been acquiescence in the interpretations of this court by the legislature. But to your point,
is date of birth so important that age wouldn't satisfy the same purpose?
The Morning News and other news organizations use that information to cross-reference against criminal records and databases. If you have date of birth, you can find out if John Doe, who is employed by the Texas Library Commission, is a sex offender or not, or better yet, whether someone who's the administrator of a Texas Youth Commission facility is a sex offender working in our youth facilities. That's exactly the type of reporting that the Morning News did do to disclose that there were over 250 convicted felons, many of whom were sex offenders, working in the Texas Youth Commission. You can't do it with just year of birth or age, because the information doesn't correlate. And there's evidence in this record is also that there's approximately 2,000 state employees with the same first and last name, John Smith and so forth. In order to be able to distinguish between the John Smith that works for the Texas Youth Commission versus the John Smith that works for the State Preservation Board, you need the date of birth information.
So with all the other information requested and provided, you can't do what you're saying your client wants to do without date of birth.
Right, because that other information is not in the criminal history record information. When someone's convicted of a sex offense, it doesn't necessarily, it's not going to have the agency, it may have the agency they work for, but certainly not going to have the other identifying information such that it's searchable across databases.
Isn't there a narrower way to search for that? Can't you access the criminal database of sex offenders and then request public information on those particular employees?
There's no evidence of that in the record. I mean, the comptroller didn't bring that forward as something that could be done.
It's a practical matter.
I don't really know, I guess, is the best only way that I can answer that question.
I mean, you can get the criminal database.
Well,
state employees that are in this criminal database, we want information.
What I do know, Justice O'Neill, is I've talked to many journalists, both among my clients and other news organizations that have been involved in this issue now that it's been in the courts and before the legislature the last several years. There's been testimony, particularly at the legislature, on many occasions that the only feasible way for them to do what I was describing to Justice Wainwright is to have date of birth information. There's been no testimony that I've seen, no one has told me, that they can do it by getting sex offender registries and then correlating it against an employment
database. We're talking
database.
Around each other. You have to admit, if that's the purpose of the inquiry, that targeted purpose, the request is pretty broad.
Yes. But reason I bring this up is because one of the elements of the common law cause of action for invasion of privacy for public disclosure of private facts, the final element is whether or not there is a legitimate public interest. And this illustrates that there is several legitimate public interests. It's not the only one. I think this is a prime example, and I think it's a powerful example, which is why we bring it up. But it's not the only example. The record also shows, for instance...
Well, I hear you, but it seems to me that the legitimate public interest should be more narrowly stated. In other words, we don't want sex offenders in our correctional facilities, and so therefore you look at that population, but to request every single employee seems like a broad net to cast.
Actually, the well-settled law of common law privacy is that the particular information that's alleged to be private or claimed that there's privacy protection for need only have a logical nexus to matters of public interest. So if we have the issue of sex offenders working in the Texas Youth Commission, which undoubtedly is an issue of public interest, if there's a logical nexus between that issue and the availability of dates of birth of public employees, then that element is satisfied. So the law is a very broad test. I understand what you're saying.
But you're going beyond the public interest in your request. The public interest you just identified, you could ask for everybody who works at the Texas Youth Commission.
Well, and we also ask for everybody who works at the state of Texas by asking for the state employee's payroll database. I mean, that is the entire database. And it's because, obviously, from time to time, the morning news has no idea who's going to be making news next week or next month. And it's useful for them to be able to, as, you know, case-by-case basis, as situations arrive, to be able to do records database checking to find out these things.
Now, let me ask one question on your evidentiary. You said there's no evidence of what a reasonable person would consider private interest. Do we need evidence?
Well, the comptroller makes this argument about legislative facts, that you can take a notice of legislative facts. It's unclear to me what facts exactly, that the comptroller wishes the court to take judicial notice of. But
the question is pretty narrow. Is it your position that we have to have evidence of what a reasonable person would consider private, or is that something that the court should know?
I think in this instance, it was the burden of the comptroller to bring forward evidence that the disclosure of the date of birth of a public employee would be reasonably offensive to, or be highly offensive to, a reasonable person. They failed to meet that burden of proof. They didn't bring forward that evidence.
Okay, that's
I don't
really
think it can be supplied any other way.
That's what really troubles me about this case. You make the claim that because of an evidentiary failure, there's potentially 145,000 state employees out there who are exposed. It may be true that there is a connection that can be made between a name and a birth date that will create a danger of identity theft. And yet, those people are out there. Who's protecting them to a request, as you said, could be anybody in the world? We're being broadcast around the world this morning. I could ask you what your birth date is, and you probably would not want that. But yet, these people are exposed to that. So who's protecting
them?
Well,
there's a procedure, interestingly, under the Texas Public Information Act, in which a governmental body such as the comptroller can give actual notice to individuals whose privacy interests are affected to allow them to come in and participate and raise objections or raise
145,000 people?
The Act provides for that. The comptroller chose not to do that. The Act also allows a governmental body to have standing to assert the privacy interests of the individuals involved. You can do it one of two ways. The comptroller chose to take the standing, assert the privacy interests of the individuals herself. And having taken on that burden, she's bound to the same rules as any other litigant, that you have to make certain proof in court. And if the failure of that proof may defeat your claim.
Justice Wainwright.
Counsel, Texas may be different, but the Arizona Supreme Court in the Scottsdale decision says in the opinion that with the name and the date of birth, you can get criminal arrest record, Social Security number, civil litigation record, credit history, financial accounts, complete medical information, potentially pretty dangerous disclosure.
I think several things to keep in mind. The Scottsdale case is more than 10 years old. I don't think that's the case today. There's certainly no contemporary or recent information showing that a date of birth could yield you medical information with ease by going out on the internet, which is suggested by the comptroller. There's certainly no evidence of that has happened or that would be the result. We've had a lot of progress of protecting such things as medical records through HIPAA and so forth. So I really question the viability of that particular language. The language certainly does appear in that Scottsdale case. And I would, the last thing I would say about the Scottsdale case is it applies just a different standard than we have here under our Public Information Act. It does not apply the common law of invasion of privacy.
Are there any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wattler. The court will hear from the Attorney General.
I'd like to try to address some of the questions that have been asked of Mr. Wattler in the short time that I have, and then a couple of points I'd like to make. Justice Wainwright mentioned the FOIA test and the possibility of using that under Section 552.102. I know that the controller's brief said that there was a balancing test under 552.102, but there is not. The Third Court of Appeals in the Hubert versus Hart-Hank case rejected that concept and referred back to this court's Texas Industrial Foundation, said that the balancing will occur by applying the Industrial Foundation
case. It's my understanding they're not making that claim here.
I believe you're right. The FOIA test, even if the court wanted to consider that, it has expanded way beyond what the FOIA was when this legislature in Texas used the FOIA as an example to enact what was then called the Texas Open Records Act. And it expanded, the balancing that they use is a balancing to determine whether or not the information that's being requested has anything to do with the actual operations of a specific agency. And if that test were applied today in Texas, there's many information that is now presently open under our system of common law privacy that would be shut down. For instance, less serious misconduct by low-level employees is closed down under the FOIA test. It's not. This court and the basic 552.001 purpose in the PIA is that the public has a right to know how the officers and government is working in Texas, and it's been a fundamental principle.
I don't think anyone disagrees with that. I think we all agree with open government and let the sun shine in. I think that there's a big disagreement as to potential damage to employees, and surely the Attorney General's office is concerned about that.
It is, and we pondered long and hard in drafting the ruling that we did. And my comment there is the PIA was not enacted to prevent or protect against unwelcome conduct or illegal conduct. And this court in the Industrial Foundation was faced with an accusation that the requester there wanted to use the information from the workers' compensation files to blacklist employees from future employment because they filed workers' comp complaints. And the court was not without sympathy for that, but explained in the system that the legislature had enacted in the PIA that it was not to prohibit illegal conduct or even to look into what the use of information is to be.
So then what happens if very personal private information is disclosed and it's legitimately pursuant to an attorney general opinion? And then the entity that obtained the information negligently mishandles it, and someone is injured through identity theft or some other tortious conduct. Is the entity that obtained the information responsible or accountable? What happens in that instance?
Section 552.204 says that a public information officer is not responsible for the use of information after it has been disclosed.
Not the public entity. I'm talking about the private entity that obtained the information. Do they have accountability for mishandling, if that were to occur, private information that is obtained from the comptroller?
I would say that I'm not an expert on tort law, but I would expect the remedy would be over in tort law, or if it's information, the Identity Theft Enforcement Act is designed to prohibit illegal conduct, such as taking a personally identifiable information like a date of birth and using it to get someone's identity to get something of value.
Doesn't releasing that information just make the illegal conduct much easier for individuals who aren't as truly interested in the public information that would be released? And why should this be a vehicle to allow that?
Truthfully, Your Honor, I don't know whether it does or not. There really is no firm evidence. This case was not tried with really expanding on what evidence there is in Texas about that. And one of the reasons it's not, again, the PIA is not there to prohibit illegal conduct.
Should this court even be concerned about that?
Of course you're concerned. The legislature has been concerned about it.
Is it something that we should take under consideration? Or is that more of a public policy issue better dealt with the legislature?
Your Honor, I think it's a public policy issue that is more appropriately discussed and considered in the legislature. And part of that reason is because the legislature has been very active in this area, starting with 2005 when it had to deal with the Identity Theft Enforcement Act, and it chose not to make date of births or any other personal identifying information confidential. And with the change in the Voter Registration Act, which there was a specific an amendment to prohibit the release of date of births that you find on your voter registration act. They actively declined to do that. In the last two sessions of the legislature, we
Not reading anything into legislative inaction. It would seem that, I mean, I understand your position that the PIA does not exist to prevent identity theft, but I would presume it doesn't exist either to facilitate it. We all get emails from, seems like I get an inordinate number of emails from an agent in Nigeria wanting me to open a bank account to take help get money out. Now, if this request were by the internet through some entity that was known to mine data, your position would be it's still, you have to give it to them, right?
The Act is silent about the use or the non-use.
Well, the
or
Act
good
says you're not to inquire about the use, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. Right. In this court, in at least two cases, AT&T Consultants in 1995 and the Seminole Industrial Foundation case.
So if the day after tomorrow we affirm the Court of Appeals opinion and it immediately 145,000 employees have their identity stolen, you would say that is not of concern under the statute to you, and it shouldn't be to the court. We just wait a couple of years until the legislature comes back and hopefully remedies the situation for future employees, because the ones who were impacted, they would have no recourse.
I think that's the determination under where the Act is presently written, and the legislature has chosen that to be that way, Your Honor.
And you also said there might be a remedy in tort law.
Absolutely.
I know you were speculating.
And there is a remedy under the Identity Theft Enforcement Act. Thank you,
Not
Your
against
Honor.
The government, though.
I beg your pardon?
Not against the government, only against business.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Supreme Court in Department of State versus Washington Post in 1982, you may think that that case is dated, too. If the 1998 case is dated, according to your code counsel, then maybe this one is, too. Interpreting Exemption 6 from the Freedom of Information Act, which has similar language to 552.102, which may not be raised here, the U.S. Supreme Court noted that an individual's date of birth is private information. Do you think if we were looking at 552.102 that it would be an easier argument that date of birth is private information not to be disclosed than under 552.101?
The only case really to construe that exception is the Hubert case.
Exception 6 under FOIA?
No, 102.
PIA.
Okay. And the third court said it's the same test as under industrial.
Of course, the third FOIA, court is not binding on this court.
Absolutely. The FOIA test has a much broader definition of what is private information. It's basically anything that someone thinks is private. And then if it has nothing to do with the actual workings of an agency, then there's no public interest. So that's one of the reasons why that test has never been adopted in Texas.
So you think it would come out differently because the PIA is stronger in disclosure than FOIA?
Yes.
Are there any further questions? Thank you, Counselor. The court will hear rebuttal.
The issue of tort law, this case, however the court decides it, may well affect tort law in Texas, because as this court noted in the Industrial Foundations case, if information is deemed to be public information, then the use and publicizing, the further use and publicizing of that information may raise First and 14th Amendment concerns that would protect any misuse or further publication of that information. And I base this assertion on this court's very discussion of Cox Broadcasting Company versus Cohn in its Industrial Foundation case. So if this court decides that the information is private, potentially that may affect tort law one way. But if this court says, no, this is public information, it can be publicized, then the misuse of that information in tort law would probably be protected because it's public information, and that public information
and the disclosure of that public information may well implicate First and 14th Amendment concerns, as this court noted in Industrial Foundations. The second point that is important to emphasize is that we are, in fact, going under legislative facts in this case. We don't think it is reasonable to expect that the comptroller is going to be able to put on evidence that a reasonable man or woman would be highly offended by the disclosure of that information.
A while ago, when we try cases to juries, we presume that the juries are reasonable people and know certain things. And so is it necessary that there be proof of what a reasonable person is? If the jurors know, and we trust the jurors to be that way, I'm wondering, is it your position that the court should know that, or is it, should it have to be proved up? I guess you get an expert to say a reasonable person is this, would think this way. That seems to be the other side's position.
Well, in fact, in tort law, there may be situations where the question of whether the information would be highly offensive to a reasonable information, and that may be a fact issue that is submitted to the jury. But that doesn't foreclose this court under the PIA from noting legislative facts based on the FTC report, based on legislative history by the Texas legislature when it enacted the dumpster diving legislation. It doesn't prohibit this court from noting that other courts, including the Arizona Supreme Court and the New York Court of Appeals, have drawn in their opinions a clear connection between the risk of identity theft and the disclosure of date of birth information. And that brings me to the other point. The Court of Appeals simply erred when it concluded that we had failed to meet our burden because we had not put on evidence that disclosure of this information will lead to identity theft. We are not required under the Billings test to prove conclusively that this disaster will befall 145,000 public employees, and those are just the state employees. School districts are also included within the definition of governmental bodies, and we're not even talking about them explicitly in this particular lawsuit, although the court's decision will have implications for those employees as well. Now, with respect to Justice Medina's question, I think as far as a public employee intervening to assert that confidentiality interest, a public employee would have a tough row to hoe because the information is at least theoretically freely given to the potential employer. But because there is an asserted confidentiality interest, I think a public employee would have at the very least a colorable argument that he or she can intervene in protection of this information. And lastly, I would like to emphasize that Billings, which dealt with wiretapping, was decided 30 years ago. We've seen serious, substantial technological changes in this society that leave the fact scenario in Billings somewhat dated, but the common law principles that this court embraced are very much applicable to date of birth information. The very genius of the common law is that it can grow and evolve as prudential application permits, and in this case, the common law should be recognized as protecting that date of birth information. Unless the court has any further questions for me, I'll return my remaining time to the justices.
Thank you very much, counselors. The cause is submitted, and the court will take a brief recess.
All rise.